Do you want us to keep producing the best VCU men's basketball podcast out there? If so, there's a way you can help. If you enjoy this show, please consider donating to help us pay for the cost of making it available. You can do so by using the PayPal link in the description of the podcast or on social media sites where we post it. Even a small donation would help. Thanks in advance, and go Rams! Welcome to Rams Rewind, a podcast that looks back at all of the action from VCU men's basketball. After each game, our host George Templeton talks live on Facebook with Ram fans and gives his take on the team's performance. And now, here's George.
VCU stood up tall so many times this game. They played really great, but USF came at them time and again, and this crowd tried their damnedest to wheel them over the line, but VCU had just enough, and they played with a lot of heart and a lot of guts, and they made some great key plays when they had to do it, and they win the game. And the answer, Dan Gaetanis, to your question is, I don't think they've ever made it to the quarterfinals of the NIT, because I think in 88, there might have been 48 teams in the NIT in 88, and they have won two games, and that's the only time they've won two games in the NIT that I know of. Chris MJ, you said Christian Furman redemption, absolutely. Best game he's played since George Washington, without a doubt, fantastic. Lawal, who had three fouls very early in the first half, made some huge plays and some huge free throws. Michael Bell, tremendous. And again, he had to be in there because defensively, Berstow, Shulga, and even Zeb to a lesser degree, although Zeb tried his damnedest and made a great play at the end, they couldn't do a doggone thing with Youngblood or Pryor, especially Pryor in the first half. They did a great job. It might be no stew, but I'll tell you what, this crowd was great tonight, and they just needed this, and any time their team gave them something to cheer about, they were up, they were loud, they were into it. This was so much better than Villanova. It was not even close. And yes, David Ellis, they overcame. And yes, Doug Hines, the tough games, even the ones at home that they lost, the tournament in Orlando, it's showing off here. And Mike Urbanski, it was very loud. Mike Urbanski, I mean, he did miss some big ones near the end, but Toby LaWall's foul shooting tonight has been absolute, was fantastic. 6 of 8, and it was just huge. Also, we did make the regional final in 88, so I guess in those days it would have been 32, but there have been years where the NIT's been 40 or even 48. We are Road Warriors again, Mitch McGuire. Now that you say that, yes, we are. We are Road Warriors again. But this was just, they every time they really needed to make a play, they would make it. And it was everybody tonight. Furman, Jackson especially early, LaWall late. They're going to win this game. And by the way, what a job they did on Pryor. Pryor in the first half is leading them in scoring. He's got 14 points. They couldn't stop him. Second half, now granted, he didn't play the whole second half, Pryor. 0-for-2, 0 points. He did have 7 rebounds. He did have 3 assists, but they adjusted on him and did a terrific job on him, and that was a huge deal. But yeah, and a lot of that was Toby Jason Coppinger. That's absolutely right. But they, Toby, he gets the third foul early in the half, and you're like, oh God, this is going to hurt. And he comes in and he almost gets to the foul line immediately after a long timeout. He's cold. He makes those two free throws. Huge. He makes those two free throws after the flagrant one. Fantastic. And I mean, they did just so many different times they came up with big plays. Best Sean Berstow game for a while, even though he had some misses at the end. 10, 13 points, was driving to the basket, was making those spin moves and nice turnarounds, and just doing a tremendous job. 6 boards, 2, 4 assists. And here's the thing. They win this game. Joe Bamisil's 2 for 10. I posted the pictures earlier in the game thread, Urbanski. I'm in the corner. I'm in the corner up at sort of in between the first and second level behind the bench where Amir Abdur-Rahim was. But they win this game. Bama Sills 2-for-10. Shoga's 1-for-6. And that is that has been the strength of this team all year, is that the idea that there's an indispensable person is baloney. It can be a different guy every night. And on a night where Shoga and Bamisil are struggling from the field and they're 1-for-9 from three combined, you get Furman 5-of-6 from the field and he gets 10 points. And you get Zeb 14 points, 5-of-9. He did most of that damage in the first half. I think, yeah, he had 8 in the first half, you know, hitting those threes. And he came up with a couple of big threes in the second half, too. David Ellis, and that great question. David Ellis asked about the flagrant one. Here's why that was the right call, because I wasn't sure. First, I actually thought Bell had fouled Pryor in the corner. But he didn't. He actually got the ball and knocked it away. Pryor was also trying to throw it off of him. That's a great play. Pryor, I thought he went for the ball, but what I did with it was actually somewhat smart on my part is I pulled up the ESPN Plus so that I could look at stuff after it happened just in case I missed it. Pryor clearly pushes Lawal on the back, doesn't make a play on the ball. Clear as day, that's the right call. Unfortunately, Zeb didn't pay it off with that drive to the basket and layup. And that was, you know, that was Zeb had a great game, and then he missed those two drives at the end, and I was just frustrated with him. But, you know, let's give Zeb some credit. End of the game, 3-point game. I thought with 8 fouls, if it was me, I would have gone for the quick 2 and fouled again because it would have been 1-1. Zeb fights through that screen and gets in his face and makes that a tough 3, and he misses it. And here's the and let me tell you, we talked in the game thread. We talked about the 3-point line. USF was top 25 in the country shooting threes coming in. VCU was pretty handy themselves. They were in the top 100 shooting threes. Both teams were right next to each other in 40th and 41st in 3-point defense. VCU ends up 10 for 26. They're 4-9 in the second half. Very good. So they did a much, you know, USF had to extend their defense, and VCU took advantage. 9 of 17 inside the 2-point line. South Florida was 4 for 20. And they were 3 for 9 in the second half, and they got a couple of those right away. But 4 for 20, what a job VCU did on the perimeter. They got caught in a couple staggered screens, out of timeouts, and in half court, they were hardly giving anything up. Cameron Hines, I tend to agree with Carlos Diaz, but I do think we would have matched up a hell of a lot better with Illinois than Duquesne did, and BYU, but that's another story. You know what? That's water on the bridge now. It doesn't matter. VCU's in the NIT. They got 2 wins in the NIT for just the second time ever. They're going to be on the road at Iowa or Utah, and I'm going to check that score now because it should be at halftime now. Oh dear, this thing's not updating. So 1 second, I'm gonna read. Okay, Utah is up 48-36 at the half. So 48-30. Well, you're saying Utah is up 18? Okay, my scoreboard, and again, I'm on the Wi-Fi, so who knows? Says 48-36 at the half, Utes. So it looks like we're going to Utah. We'll see. I'm surprised that that's a 9 o'clock tip and not later. This was a titanic effort. Credit Ryan Odom. Great use of the offense, defense. Getting Bell in there. I said in the game thread that Bell had to be in there down the stretch because Youngblood was just abusing everybody else. Bell wasn't always guarding him, but Bell and Jackson did a hell of a job. Oh, that wasn't a halftime score? Okay, I was looking at the halftime score. But Bell did a hell of a job on defense and got a couple of nice plays. I mean, they kind of could have run away with it because they got up 8 a couple times, and then they had some questionable breakdowns on defense. But what an effort. What a fantastic effort all the way around. This is a team that averages 76 points a game. And VCU held them to 65. and held them to 41% from the field, 20%. You know, you're talking about next year, Lawal, Zeb Jackson. If they're back next year with us, they're absolutely all conference players. Bama Steel could be too, you know, because what we don't know is what kind of a year would Bama Steel had if, you know, he was going to be there the whole time. I don't know how much practice he was able to get when he was technically not eligible. So you do have to wonder about that as well. But yeah, I mean, that's the thing is like, you look at this run and see, this is why the NIT is so important. This is why you don't poo-poo opportunities like this. Look at the growth of this basketball team in the last week. You know, you lose a game like the one they lost to Duquesne, where they were given every chance, and quite frankly, they weren't able to take it for whatever reason. You can pick whatever reason it is. But this team has grown so much. Phillips, you know, hits a big three. That was a big basket in the game. I think that got them up to an 8-point lead at that point. You know, it's big. It's growth for him. Bell starting to grow offensively as well. You know, I'm so proud of the way this team has played these last two games. And look, you know, they were getting killed on the offensive backboard. It was absolutely killing them. You know, 15-10 in favor of USF, and they were only plus three on second chance points. That was big. And the other thing that was big is that VCU got the defensive rebounds they needed to get at the end. So they made it finish minus five, but they did the job well on that. 24 wins, Jason Coppinger. Again, you know, we're at the point now, if you'd have asked me after the Duquesne game, I would have said this season was a solid B. They got Amir Abdur-Rahim talking to their post-game folks over here. What a coach he is. God, Amir Abdur-Rahim, he's a dadgum miracle worker, that guy. And USF has got to do whatever they can to hang on to him because he is a fabulous coach. Unbelievable. Doug Hines, we do need to bring in some muscle. There's no question about that. We need a big thumper. I'd like Rose to develop into that, but that's true. But you know what? We don't have to worry about next season because we still got a game on Wednesday at 9 o'clock, either in Iowa City or in Salt Lake City, Utah. But these postseason tournaments are so important, and they have come up with two huge road wins that will – I mean, that's the thing. Next year, because I guarantee you that Ryan Odom will get us a Power 5 road game, and he'll probably get us – maybe he might even get us a couple other road games. And what they're doing here now is going to translate for that and is going to help them in those games. It's going to help them in Charleston next year. So this is massive. And just look at this second half. Youngblood was fantastic, and you got to give him credit. What a player he is, especially as they actually did a job on him in the first half. You know, they did all right against Chris Youngblood in the first half. I think he had 7 at halftime. Yeah, he was 2 for 7 in the first half, Chris Youngblood. And Pryor was the one carrying him. We'll come to the second half. Chris Youngblood's 8 for 9. You know, 4 for 4 from the foul line. So that only shot, the only shot he misses is the three at the end of the game. What does that tell you? But the rest of them are 4 for 18. And Reed's got 3 of those. So it's Reed and Youngblood, and everybody else has got 1 field goal. That's it. Miguel Santin, their lean scorer off the bench, 2 for 12. What a job they did on him. And some of that was Bell and Jackson and some of the other guys too. They did a job on that guy. He only played 21 minutes. They did something. They did a great job. Doug Hines, I don't know if something's wrong with Shulga. I think it's interesting that I think Ryan Odom did use him judiciously tonight, 24 minutes. Shulga still had 4 assists, which was really good. Maybe there's something wrong with him. I don't know. But I'll tell you, The fact that they could win with him and Bamisil not even combining for 10 points and being 3 for 16, that tells you what a team this is and what a team they're growing into. And that's why everybody should be so excited. And you're right, Bruce Stevenson. If we could have put the stop on Youngblood, even a little, we could have cruised in this game. But you know what? Youngblood's a great player. Youngblood's a great player. And great players do what he did in the second half. Guys that win, that are conference players of the year, do that. And sometimes you just got to tip your cap. You know, whenever he got somebody on him, like Bairstow or Shulga, he wore them out. You know, you got to put your hands up sometimes and say, hey, that's a great player. VCU still won the game. You know, how many times have we had somebody go off? You know, Day-Day Grant at the Siegel Center. Doggone, Maximus Edwards at the Siegel Center. You know, we've come up against guys that have had games like this, and we couldn't win. And now, here we are in March on the road doing exactly that, winning in spite of that. Winning in spite of that. And yes, Bruce Stevenson, you know, the way that Bairstow and Fermin have been playing lately, if they had played like that, we wouldn't have won. But the fact is, they came up with the goods, and they made the big plays. Again, Bairstow's best game for a long time, Fermin's best game since GW, and that's going to give them confidence, you know, if they're going to Utah. And let's do another check on that score while we're at it, because, it's still in the halftime, 48-36. So let's see what's going on in the big tournament here. Connecticut walloped Northwestern. That's no surprise. Ooh, Texas A&M's giving Houston trouble. But I am so proud of this team. I am so proud of this team. Their defensive effort, again, there were some breakdowns. You know, Amir Abdur-Rahim knows how to draw stuff up. And they were having trouble with the double screens and the staggered screens and the elevator screens. But you know what? They did a tremendous job in half court. And that's the other thing. They did not let USF speed this game up. Quite literally, their biggest runs, and really their only runs in this game, came when this thing got up and down. That's when it happened. Other than that, when this was a half-court game, VCU was the better team, without a shadow of a doubt. And that says a lot. That says a lot. What a great effort from these guys tonight. And, okay, Utah's a big team. All right. You know, if that's who we're playing, that's who we're playing. At this point, we're one game away from the Indianapolis in the Final Four. How about that? And what a chance, what an opportunity that they could have to go play at Hinkle Fieldhouse. So you know what? Bring it on, whatever it is. And that's it, Doug Hines. We took their best shots, and we fought back. And think of this, folks. USF hits the first three 10 seconds into the second half to take the lead. That's the last time they had the lead. They never had a lead bigger than 3 points this whole game. VCU was the better team tonight. They deserved to win this game. 26 minutes, 10 seconds in front. There were a lot of lead changes. Almost all of them were in the first half. 15 lead changes. So it's that's the thing. We couldn't really get away from them. The biggest lead we had was we had a 9-point lead in the second half. I think that was after I might have been after one of the threes. Let me see. I'm going to go to the play-by-play in the second half. I think one of the threes gave us that lead, 56-47. Yeah, Fats Billups three. There you go. Gave us the biggest lead of the game, 56-47. Oh, gosh, yeah, Toby had some blocks. How many blocks did we have? We had 5 blocks tonight. Fermin had 2. Toby had 1. Bamisil had 1. That was a great play. Michael Bell, 2. Again, one thing you got to say, and one of the reasons they're going to win this game, is there were plenty of times the USF got into great positions in the paint, and VCU managed to stop them. So you got to hand it to them on that. For playing great defense down low when they were kind of in bad shape. Of course, it didn't hurt that we get the big foul shot miss right at the end either. That was huge. Oh, my goodness. And let me say something else. This was so funny. Man, These fans were hollering travel every 5 seconds, which was funny. But when Toby made that block, they were all yelling and screaming, that's got to be a goaltend. And I'm sitting here with the Cheshire Cat grin on my face saying, no, Toby just gets up that high. It's not a goaltend. Oh, my gosh. When you see Toby make a leap like that, it really is just wow. It's a wow play, and he's a wow player. So, Wednesday night. Wednesday night's the game against either Utah or Iowa, probably Utah. And it should have been Doug Hines because, again, there ain't many guys that can jump 49 dead gum inches. And that's the thing. Nobody else is making that play. They don't have any guys that's making that play. That's why they all thought it was a goaltend. They're like, there's no way he got up that high. Oh, yes, there is. Yes, there is. Inspector Toby's on the case. Oh, mercy. What a win. What a win. What a huge win. Just fantastic from VCU. Tremendous. And, yeah, Wednesday night, that's what's going on. Live, we'll be live in the good and the bad and the ugly group. Don't worry about that. Oh, they said 40. Oh, please, they said 40. Baloney. It's a lot more than 40. Wednesday night, live in the good and the bad and the ugly group. And, of course, if you like what you hear tonight out there in podcast land and you want to shoot some Dinero, there is a link to the PayPal in the description on Podbean or the podcast platforms. If you are not part of the good and the bad and the ugly group, you should be. The game threads fire. We do the live videos in here when we can. And in this case, on site tonight as well. We didn't get to it last week, but we will have VCU by the numbers probably Tuesday. We'll let all the numbers kind of sink in for VCU. By the way, another thing that was kind of interesting about this game, VCU was 61 in the net coming in, which means their net has just gone up and up and up and up into postseason. And South Florida was 78, so I thought that was kind of interesting. I mean, it's the bookmakers had it a close game. I think it was a 1.5-point line. But VCU was way ahead of the net, and they come up with a win here. So that was terrific. So thank you all in the video for the comments. We really appreciate it as always. Thank you for everybody commenting in the game thread. I absolutely loved it. And we're still here. VCU is still here, which means we got another one of these on Wednesday. And who knows, maybe a trip to Indianapolis for all the fans. Hinkle Fieldhouse, wouldn't that be something? So thank you all very much. Thank you for listening out in podcast land. Talk to you Wednesday live in the Good and the Bad and the Ugly group. Have a good night, everybody.
To submit a question for George to answer in an upcoming episode or to inquire about sponsorship opportunities for this podcast, please email ramsrewind@gmail.com. We'll be back after the next game, and thanks for listening to this episode of Rams Rewind.